Yahweh, we thank you for all these words and for teaching tonight. We just speak this all in your Son's name, Christ Jesus. Okay, here we go. Companion Bible. Okay, this is the resource I was talking about that you saw at the front of the Telios. I do have some cuts from this that I'm going to be showing you. And this is one of them on the screen. If you can see this, as you look on, this is what it looks like. And so here's chapter 1 of Matthew. It starts off here on verse 6. It's just a snapshot is what this is. But it shows the verses. And as you look at the verses, and you see these little emblems here. It looks like the degree symbol, if you will, the little O. It has corresponding notes off to the side for each one. And it's very important because you're going to learn a lot of things. You're going to learn about different words. You're going to learn about how things line up. And it will give you references to the appendixes right here. You can see this here. See note on verse 7. It will tell you here that, try and find one here that has the appendix. I don't see one on this particular one. But it has all these lined up and it will tell you and send you to these places for you to do more research. So it's instead of just reading the word, this is a reading and studying and digesting and digging into the word. C.S. Lewis said this, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. If I discovered within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I am not made for I'm made for another world." Mm-hmm. I'm like going, how good? Because C.S. Lewis, some things I did not know about him, he grew up without Christ. He was an adult when he became a Christian. And so he was always searching for the fulfillment and the satisfying types of things until he did find Christ. And so when you see that, it's like going, I love that. I'm like, well, that's great. Made for another world. And that's how we have to view ourselves as well. All right. In the Word, why are parables used? And so a lot of this will be refresher. I hope there's some new stuff that I share with you. But for people watching, a lot of times I think it's misknown why parables are used. Who wants to, any answers?
Makes it easier to understand.
It's parables are actually, go ahead, Aaron, you want to?
No.
Okay.
Figure
parables,
speech.
What's that?
Figure of speech.
Yes, and also, it's an actual place between, if you will. Okay? When somebody tells a parable, it's a riddle. Now, if you don't know the riddle, do you know the parable? No, you don't. If somebody tells you a riddle and you walk away going, what the heck does that mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, the parable will just right over. Now, you may catch it eventually because, again, I look at these as seed sown. But we're going to look at this and we're going to see. So let's start off here in Matthew 13, 9 through 7. Okay, so picture yourself in this situation where you're one of the disciples with Christ and he's going out and speaking and you're just like bated breath, waiting for every word that's coming out. You know who this guy is. You know what he's capable. You've watched him. And then he gets up and speaks. And as you're looking around, you're looking at the people in the crowd, and they're just, what? You know, they're like going, okay, what? I thought, what's this guy talking about? Okay, that's how it is. And so these guys are like going, golly, what's going on? Why are these people not understanding? And why are we speaking in parables? Okay, so let's go here, 13, starting there in verse 9. Here, I just got to get to the right spot here. 13, 9. I don't find him.
13?
Page 13.
It's on page 13.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was one page ahead. Okay. Starting in verse 9 through 17. I'm sorry. He that hath ears, let him hear. Okay? That to me, I'm like going, it's not a robot where you hear it and it does something. Okay? He has ears. I can speak to my Google phone and it will give me an address and a phone number. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody hearing and comprehending and applying. Okay, so he that hath ears, let him hear. Wherefore in parables, the sower explained. In verse 10, and this is one of the benefits here of having the Rotherham, there are actual little notes, or if you will, chapter things. A lot of times when I'm reading a book and the new chapter, you read it, you read what the chapter says it's going to be, and you're like going, it almost gives a little bit of excitement to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a catchy thing. Well, you see that here as well. Wherefore in parables? A question. The sower explained. And the disciples coming near said to him, wherefore in parables art thou speaking to them? And he answering said, because unto you hath it been given to get to know the sacred secrets or mysteries of the kingdom of heavens, whereas unto them hath it not been given. For whosoever hath, it shall be given to him, and who shall be made to abound. But whosoever hath not, even what he hath shall be taken from him. Well, that sounds pretty hard. Okay, that sounds pretty tough there. Okay, for this reason, in parables unto them do I speak, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14. And again is being fulfilled in them in the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, and here we go, this is the prophecy of Isaiah, they shall surely hear, and yet will not understand, and surely see, and yet not perceive. For the heart of the people hath become dense, and with their ears heavily have they heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their heart should understand, and return, when I would certainly heal them. But happy are your eyes that they see, and your ears that they hear. For verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men had coveted to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what ye hear and not heard. And I would tell people, boy, for those people who do not want to be in the church administration with all the things we have, many prophets and righteous men want what we have now and didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's don't take this lightly. This is important stuff. Yeah. So this is what he's saying. So they're able to see. So the parables are not necessarily to make easy understanding. They're there to separate, to say, hey, look, do you want to know? If you want to know, I'll tell you. Come and ask. Well, I'll tell you. I'll break this down. It's the same way with the Word. When we go through here, I can read something and then later on read it again and go, okay, I completely missed that.
Yeah.
It's because we're digging into it. We're investing into this. Parables in Matthew 13 is where we're going to be going. So we are there. Okay. So here is another cut here from the Companion Bible, and this is 13. Now, I want to show a couple things on here. This is one of the nice things about the Companion Bible. At the beginning of it, it will break it down so we can kind of see what's going to happen. This is the notes, if you will, for it. And so on here you see the teaching, the alternation and introversion, and it says place, departure, out of the house. Now a lot of times people would read these, and everybody knows about the parable about the sower. Any Christian, that's like Christian 101 about the sower. Okay? Everybody knows about it. But when you start digging into it, there's going to be a lot of things that you're like going, I never knew that. So the departure out of the house is what this called. And you see how he puts this together. One parable, the sower. Next portion, questions of the disciple, answer, not understood. Three parables. Okay, three parables. These are the outside parables. Another. Okay, we're going to go over these. Multitudes, then it says place departure into the house. Okay, three of them, the disciples, three parables, again, again, and again. Questions to disciples, answers understood, one parable described, departure thence. Okay, now what this does is people look at that and they're like going, I don't get it, it doesn't really mean anything to me. You will as you read it and you go through. And the Companion Bible mixed together with the Rotherham will lead you to it to where you can say, there it is, yeah. I see it plain, yeah. You know, as plain as day. Again, on here, as we look at that, this is more of that section to kind of show it. I did the first one so you could read it a little bit better. You see here 13, this is the beginning of this, and it all lines up. But down here it says, then same day went Jesus out of the house, or Yahushua, and sat by the seaside in the great multitudes, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, the same day down here, these are the notes where we see these here. The same day, okay, the day referred to, it tells you, and then out of the house. Then the notes here that he puts in there, these are Bollinger notes. And I don't know if you can see this on TV or not, but I will tell you. The teachings from verse 3 through 35 was public. From verses 36 through 52 was in the house in private.
Oh,
okay,
I see.
In private. Yeah. That's why he broke this down. Outside, inside. Three ones are another. Three ones are again. Okay, and so as we go through there, you're like going, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay, and here's where it comes down to. The glory of Elohim is to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a thing. It is for us to do that. Remember that the righteous men, the prophets, wanted what Christ was showing these guys. They wanted it, and we're not able to have that. We do. And so for us, it's like going, view yourself above a king. We are above the kings of those times. We have this. They did not. Let's take advantage of it. Let's make something out of it. All right. Let's go to, and I will read this here. It's pretty long, but it's all of page 12, basically. I take that back. One more page over. 1324. It's on page 14. Okay, and I'm going to read this with a little bit of emphasis in between. Okay, so page 14, we're in Matthew 13, starting verse 24 through 51. Again, start off the note, the wheat and the darnel. Another one of the three others. Another parable put he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven hath become like a man sowing good seed in the field. And while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed over darnel and among the wheat, and away he went. And when the blade shot up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the darnel also. And the servants of the householder, coming near, said unto him, sir, was it not good seed that thou didst sow in the field? Whence then hath it darnel? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And they say unto him, wilt thou then that we go and collect it? And he saith, nay, lest at any time while collecting the darnel, ye uproot along with it the wheat. As we're reading these, I want you to try to put eyes, different eyes on these things, and try to look for the parallelisms, which I am going to draw some parallelisms as we get through this. But look at those as I go through here as we're reading these. Suffer both to grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time will I say unto the reapers, collect ye first the darnel and bind it unto bundles. This is interesting because when you look in Revelations, when it says the people on the field, one will be taken and one won't.
Yeah.
Now the church thinks the one that will be taken is the one that's being pulled up because they're being rewarded. Guess what it says? It says that they'll be taken. What comes out first? The darnel.
Yeah.
The darnel comes out first. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So back in 30, there, the second part of it, part B of 30, collect ye first the darnel and bind it into bundles with a view to burning it up. But the wheat be gathering into my barn. Next portion, the grain of mustard seed, verse 31. Another parable, another parable put he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which is indeed less than all seeds, but when grown is greater than the garden plants, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the heaven come and lodge amongst its branches. The leaven, verse 33. Another parable, our third, another. Spake ye unto them, the kingdom of the heavens is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures. I do want to say something, and I don't want this to offend anybody. The reference to this as a woman is not a good reference. It was a reference to somebody who was an evil person. Okay, as you look through the Companion Bible, it specifies that. It does not mean in women in general. It is not a derogatory or sexist thing. It was a reference to a woman that was evil, that had influence. Okay, it's what that talks about in the Companion Bible. That I would completely miss that without those notes. It means nothing to me. Okay, but what's it saying is they was speaking with... Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back to 33 again. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of the heavens is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until the whole was leavened. This was evil. Okay, this was evil. This was not accidental. Next one. Without a parable, nothing. Now verse 34. All these things spake Yahushua in parables unto the multitudes, and without a parable was he speaking nothing unto them. Holy cow. Yeah. Well, just make it crystal clear for us. He did not. Everything was in parables unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying, Isaiah, I will open in parable my mouth. I will bring up things hidden from the foundation. Private explanation of the darnel, 36. Okay? Then, dismissing the multitudes. This is where they leave. They go together. These are the private. Now we're going to get into the private portions of them. Dismissing the multitudes, he went into the house, and the disciples came near him, saying, Make quite plain to us the parable of the darnel of the field. This is how we should be with the word. When we hear something from Yahweh, when we read something that confuses us, make clear. Make this to me clear so I understand what I'm reading, what I am supposed to do. Make it known to me. Okay. Okay, and 37. And he answering said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He is the he and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the darnel seeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy that sowed them is the adversary. And the harvest is a conclusion of an age. What are we talking about here? Okay, what are we talking about? We see where we're going, where we're paralleling what we're seeing. And the reapers are messengers. Just therefore, as collected is the darnel, and with fire is burned, so will it be in the conclusion of the age. Verse 41, the Son of Man will send forth his messengers, and they will collect out of the kingdom all the causes of stumbling and the doers of lawlessness. And it will be cast, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Verse 44. It does not show in our Bible that that's the first again. It does, and they explain it in the Companion Bible, that this is the first again, starting in verse 44. Okay, this is the first again. The kingdom of the heavens is like unto the treasure hid in the field, which a man finding hid, and by reason of his joy withdraw and sell whatsoever he hath, and buyeth that field. One very precious pearl, verse 45. Again, the second again, and the kingdom of the heaven is like unto a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, and finding one very precious pearl, departing, he at once sold all things whatsoever he had, and bought it. The dragnet, 47, the third again. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a large dragnet, casting into the sea and gathering of every kind, which when it was filled, they dragged up onto the rocks, and sitting down, collected the good and the good unto vessels, but the worthless forth they cast. So will it be in the conclusion of the age. The messengers will come forth and separate the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Last part of this, okay? The well-taught scribe, the new and the old. Verse 51, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea. Okay, this is the explanation. This is what you're talking about. So when you're doing this, for these guys, they're like going, okay, we get it now. We get it. We see what he's talking about. Up to that point, you're just kind of like going, all right, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what's going on. But this was the point of that. And again, when Yahweh puts his word out, there are things in there and there's discoveries in there. When you start connecting things, we're like going, oh, this is fantastic. Okay, here's a neat explanation I want to show. And I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but this comes out of the Companion Bible, and it's tares, and this is the word. It is a type of darnel. This is not the actual word darnel, but this is what Companion Bollinger shows for the words we just looked in. Okay, it's zoan, as known today in Palestine. While growing, it looks like wheat, but when full grown, the ears are long and the grains almost black. Here's the part that we have to realize, okay? It's not a nuisance. It's death. Each grain of zoan must be removed before grinding wheat, or the bread is bitter and poisonous. Wheat is golden, but the tares show their true colors. They ripen. Mm. Here's what they look like. Huh. Okay, there's the difference. So when somebody talks about a tear, we're talking about something that's mimicking, that's internal, that's mimicking. And guess what? If you don't separate it, it ruins, not only ruins the bread, it poisons the person. Okay, that adds a little bit more emphasis to it, where you're like going, boy, that's, yes, now I understand. Not just a nuisance where, oh, yeah, you're taking up my space. No, you're trying to kill me. You're trying to poison me. And so we have to look at it that way. Let's go back up here, or forward a couple pages here to Matthew 16, verse 5. And I'm going to read this as well here. Okay, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go back over some of that. So I don't have to keep a marker there, because it's only one page. All right, 16, 5. And I'll go ahead and read this here, 5 through 12. And this is beware of the leaven. Okay, in verse 5. And the disciples. Now, this is kind of funny to me as I read this. But at the same point, because I put myself in their position of being, you jackass, what were you thinking? Okay. Oh, well, he kind of, look at me, what's going on? Okay, here we go. Beware of the leaven. And the disciples coming to the other side have forgotten to take loaves. I thought you were supposed to get them. No, it was your turn to get it. Okay. Okay? And so you can imagine they're like going, well, we got to eat. You know, what's going to happen when we get hungry? So this is kind of, you know, a humanistic or a natural thing. They have forgotten the loaves. And Yehoshua said unto them, mind and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began to deliberate among themselves, saying, because loaves we took on us? Yeah, I mean, this is where I can say that, you know, like, you know, my father would do that, chew you out, and you walk away going, was he talking about this? What was he? Yeah. Why was he mad about this? You know, like, come on, man, what are you talking about? Listen, okay, because loaves we took not, and observing it, Yehoshua said, why are you deliberating amongst yourselves, ye little of faith, because loaves ye have not? In other words, okay, let's put this back to elementary phase here. Let's start all over again. Verse 9. Not yet perceive ye, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye received, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many hampers ye received. How is it that you perceive not that not concerning loaves spake I unto you? For crying out loud, you miss the entire point. Everything right over the top of your head while you're murmuring about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to do? Okay. But he tells them, do you not remember this? Okay, quit getting hung up on this, and let's go to the next spot. Let's go to the next level. Okay. Hampers you received, verse 11. How is it you perceive not that concerning loaves spake I unto you? But be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they that he did not bid them beware of the leaven of loaves, but of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay? Two separate, completely different points. Okay? The moral of the story is their teachings. It's not the food we're talking about, for crying out. And so that's important to see that. Why is he telling this? Okay? Why is he telling this? Well, everybody knows what's going to happen. What happens with a little bit of leaven? A little bit of leaven ruins everything. And so he's warning them. Let's take a look at this here. This is from a companion Bible, or not from a companion Bible, I'm sorry. The Strong's here on the screen. I've removed words, I've removed the explanations, the Strong's numberings for the ones that I'm not using for sake of space. And so first of all, let me show you something. Because people hear you say Yehoshua, and they're like going, what are you Jewish? And I'm like going, no, I'm not actually. Okay? But here it is. Then Jesus, okay, Yahushua. 24:24, when we look at this word here under Strong's, it tells us this. Okay? Yes. Kind of sounds almost like the Mexican way of saying it or the Spanish way of saying
Jesus.
It. Yeah. Okay. Jesus. But look at here what it says of Hebrew origin 03091. Okay, let's look at that. Now when we look down to here, here's what it says. Yahushua. Okay, it's not me just coming up with this. This is where it comes from, all right? And this is here, Joshua. Joshua or Jehoshua. Okay, so when we look at this and you hear me say this, please let that be known. So don't ask me about the loaves of bread when I say that. Okay. Anyways, the words we're looking at here, though, okay, to go to actual to our point is take heed. Okay, take heed here, the first one, 3708, okay? Horaho, I guess. I'm not sure how you would say that, but properly to stare at. Okay, it doesn't mean that you look at the orange juice can and concentrate. Okay, it means to view, to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear. To see, take heed, see with the eyes, to see with the mind, to perceive is the key. That's the key of this, to perceive. Now, let's look at the other one and beware, because these are the two. It says beware and take heed. Now, it says it exactly, they're reversed in the Rotherham, in the or in the Strong's or the King James, they're reversed. But both words are the same. They're just in different orders here. 4337, beware, give heed to. This is where I want to draw attention to. When you see this, you hear about the Sadducees, and you hear about the Pharisees, and what this is going to be, and we're referring to leaven. Everybody knows that would be like, hey, be careful of the Ebola when you do this. Well, how much is safe? Zero. Okay, zero is safe. And this is the same thing. And so when we look at this word, look at it is, now I took out some of the meanings because there's a ton of them in there. But beware, give heed, they're all to give heed. There's a whole bunch of them on there. To turn minds to, attend to be attentive. There's two of them I really want to look at. To apply oneself to, attach oneself to. Were the Pharisees and the Sadducees attached to things they would not let go?
Yeah.
Were they possessions or was it doctrines?
Doctrines,
that's right. Would not let go. Do we see this in the church today? Mm-hmm. Do we see this in religions? When I go and I look online for things and I go through and I scan down, sometimes I'll put in a search on Google for something and it will ask me, what religion would you like to go to? And I'm like going, well, let me scroll down and see there's... And I'm talking 20, 30, 40 of them that show up on there. And I'm like going, golly, this is pretty crazy when you see this, mm-hmm. okay? So yes, there are things that are attached to, that you are addicted to. Next part that I had to underline, hold or cleave to a person or thing. That, nope, this person says this, I have to go with this. Well, if it's contrary to the word, then this is what you're doing. This is what Christ is warning them to beware of, to be watching for. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like, and this is where we're going to look at a few things. And I'm going to draw some parallelism. Now, this is me. This is me saying this, and I'm showing parallels. Okay, and so this is just things that I come across and I look at and I find interesting. I'm not saying this is doctrine, but I'm just saying these are interesting things, and I am going to draw parallelisms to it. Okay, another. Okay, the kingdom is like the good seed in the tare, the grain of mustard seed, leaven in the meal. Again, treasure. This is the first one. Treasure dug up, hid again, and the field purchased. Go back here, flip back over to 13, if you would, there. And let's look at a couple of these. I think I have more on this that I'll go over. Okay, again, pearl of great price, and again, dragnet in the ocean, separation from the good and bad. This is, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, this is what we're looking at. The field. Remember this as we go through this, that there is importance to this and how these parallels or the stories are told, the parables are told, are to have meanings within them. Okay, everything in there has a meaning. The field was the world. Okay, and that's important that we know that when we're viewing things, Yahushua is talking to us as the field being the world. The hidden treasure. So when we look in 1344, okay, and it is on the page we're on, I'm sorry. 1344, and this is the hidden treasure. And I want you to think about this as we kind of go through there. Treasure is the field, the world, okay? Treasure in a field. First of all, as we look at that, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field, which a man finding hid, and by reason of his joy withdraw and sell whatsoever he hath, and buyeth that field. This does not parallel salvation. Does not. Why? Because we cannot buy, nor can we trade for salvation. Okay? So, when I look at this, what's this parallel to is Christ, for what Christ did for us. Okay? We look at this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, which a man finding hid. In other words, it was dug up, then it was rehidden, and by reason of his joy withdraweth and selleth whatever he hath, and buyeth that field. Buyeth that field, being the world. Okay. Next one, had dug up, not had he had to reveal. Look at the next one here. Okay, and this is what I'm saying. By reason of his joy, withdraw and sell whatsoever he hath, and buyeth that field. Did Christ give up everything that he had?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. There was nothing left that Christ could have given that he did not give. Okay. Next one here, I'm just going to read this here. This is John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be taking courage. I have overcome the world. Okay? And when I look at this, and you say, well, you know, it's the Bible tells me the meek shall inherit the troposphere, or the stratosphere, or the ionosphere. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not what it says. It says the meek will inherit the earth. Okay?
Yeah.
Will inherit the world. Okay, this is where we're going to be. We're not going to be floating around. And so when we see this, this is our position. The meek for those who succumb to what Christ and Yahweh tells to do. John 15:12-16. I'm just going to read these for sake of time here because I don't want to run over. This is my own commandment, that you be loving one another just as I loved you. Greater love than this hath no one, that his life one should lay down in behalf of his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye be doing that which I am commanding you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord is doing. But you I have called friends, because all things which I heard from my Father I made known unto you. this is hid and be purchased back up, to be brought back up. What was made known to him, he made known to them as his friends. Okay? Not ye chose me, but I chose you and placed you that you should go your way and bear fruit. And your fruit should abide, that whatsoever ye should ask the Father in my name, he might give unto you. Okay? The precious pearl. Let's go down to the next one here, which is verse 45. Okay? And here's something interesting in this, because we're gonna show the emphasis of that. The merchant is somebody who has the money to go out and explore and to trade. Okay, this is not somebody selling to live off of. This is somebody who is financed basically to go out and do this. The word is emporos. One on a journey, whether by sea or land, especially for trade. A merchant as opposed to a retailer or petty tradesman. Okay, so this is somebody who's a merchant. So again, I don't think the words are a mistake. I don't think they are. I think that's important how they're put together. A lot of times we miss that because a merchant to us doesn't really give any emphasis.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody sells something. Departing. Okay? Departing, leaving for a period of time. He at once sold all things whatsoever he had and bought it. The ultimate trade. The ultimate trade. Now, I'm not saying that that's what that is. I see the parallelisms between it. And it is not us and our salvation, because we do not buy or sell or trade our salvation. It's not. It doesn't work that way. What Christ did, though, that does parallel. Okay, next one here. Let's go flip over. You can keep a hand here because we are coming back to this. Let's go over to Revelation 21:21. And if somebody would let me take a break on my voice for just a second, it is page 266, and it's on the top portion. It's kind of right in the middle of the paragraph. I don't need to read the whole thing because it's descriptive of paradise, the new city. Okay, and so this is what we're looking at. So if somebody would read their 21 for me, please.
And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gates severally was of one pearl. And the broad way of the city was pure gold as transparent glass.
That's it. Now here's the thing. When they talk about, flip back. Thank you, Aaron. When they talk about this here as a very precious pearl, when you think of gems or valuables, a pearl probably doesn't come to your mind. Okay, it doesn't. But what this shows in the new city is the entryway is a pearl. Has some significance to it. Now, everybody knows, you say, the streets are going to be made of
gold.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody knows the entrance, what the entrance is. And interest is a pearl. That's what he's talking about. 12. Several. One over every one. And so this is what he's talking about. Well, now people look at it and they're like, oh, and a pearl? You know, you think of a precious gem. You think of a diamond or something else. Not a pearl. Okay? But that is important, especially when you see it in the Word and we connect them together. This is from the TDNT, the Theological Dictionary, the New Testament, number 467. Pearls are usually regarded as precious stones in antiquity. The word for pearl becomes a figure of speech for what is of supreme worth. Okay? So when you hear the pearl of great price or the very pricey pearl, it has a different meaning than when we look at it, because we don't look at it as a pearl being, yeah, that's a really, you know, that's okay, a string of pearls, not that big a deal. You have a string of pearls around your neck. Think of those if those were all diamonds that size. Okay, does something change? Well, the value does. Okay, in antiquity, it means of supreme worth. And in the new city, when the entrances are all referred to as the pearls, it means a lot. There's a lot more to it that we miss because it's not that big of a deal to us until we put it into context. Okay, and so again, this pearl of great price has a different meaning. It has a different meaning, something incredible, an entryway into the new kingdom. Is that what it's going to be of all the 12 entrances? Okay, the dragnet. When we look at this here in number 47, verse 47. Okay, the dragnet, gathering of all kinds. Now, of this here, we are looking at what is going to take place. The earlier parable was what was going to take place. The messengers were going to come. They did not come, if you took note to it, they did not come and pull the darnels out while the wheat was growing.
Right.
They didn't do it. Okay. Again, when we come to this, the dragnet, it's the same way. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like under a large dragnet, cast into the sea and gathering of every kind, which was when it was filled, then they came up. And so when we look at this, they went to the beach. They pulled it. They went to the beach. And they're sitting down, okay? They're sitting down, making judgment, okay? What happened? Separating. We are separating now what's taken place. What's in the net? because there's going to be good in the net and there's going to be junk in the net. Okay, and the junk gets thrown. The good gets separated. And that's exactly what he's talking about. Good into vessels, the worthless are cast out. Okay, let's go to Malachi 3. So we're back just a few pages. We're going to be on, I think it's on page 915. Starts on 914, 915. Okay, so again, what I'm saying is the parallels that we're looking at here, he's talking in parables to them, and he's telling them, but as we look at the things, there's different context to it, and there's a different way of looking at it with more emphasis. And so I'm going to read this here again, 13 through 18 of Malachi 3. Okay, and again, this is the last part before we get into Matthew. And so Malachi 3, verse 13 through 31, starting there on the bottom of page 914, stout against me, in other words, the belly aching, if you will, or speaking against me, have been your words, saith Yahweh, and yet ye say, what have we spoken one to another against thee? What have we said against thee? Yahweh saith, yea have said, vain is it to serve Elohim or Yahweh. And what profit when we have kept his charge or when we have walked gloomily before Yahweh of hosts for crying out loud who has not been there to where they're like going, what's the point?
Yeah.
When I look out there and I see George Soros trading $900 million into gold, and I think to myself, as you're destroying countries and governments, and I'm thinking to myself, you stand so against Yahweh and his precepts, and yet when you look at it, you're like going, but he's excelling, he's exceeding. What's going on?
Yeah.
We're crying out loud, I said, oh, forget it, up in the wind, I'm done. And that's where we see, this is what we're looking at, where I can't take it, it's unjust. It's mm-hmm. unjust what's happening, and we don't feel like we're getting anywhere. Okay, again, verse 14. Ye have said, vain is it to serve Elohim, Yahweh. And what profit when we have kept his charge, or when we have walked gloomily before Yahweh of hosts? Verse 15. Now therefore we are pronouncing happy the proud. Okay, in other words, this is what I just said. The boastful, those that are standing up, look at me, I'm the one. Okay, happy are they, that's what we see. And the doers of lawlessness have even been built up, and they who have put Yahweh to the proof have even been delivered. Okay, and here we see it. Anything changed? Anything new in the world? Okay, no. A faithful few and their rewards in the coming day of gloom or doom. I'm sorry. Verse 16. Then they who revered Yahweh conversed one with another. And Yahweh hearkened and heard, and there was written a book of remembrance before him. For them who revered Yahweh, and for such as thought of his name, therefore shall they be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in the day for which I am preparing treasure, and I will deal tenderly with them, just as a man dealeth tenderly with his own son who is serving him. So shall he return and see difference between the righteous and the lawless. Between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Okay? And so, yes, what we see, we go through times, we go through seasons, it will come good. It will be good. All right, and last one here. Let's flip over to Philippians 3. Okay, Philippians 3, verses 7 through 8. Page 203. 3, 7, and 8. And I'll go ahead and read this. But whatever things unto me were gain, the same have I counted for Christ's sake loss. Now here's what we're talking about. Put yourself in this position, that all the things, what he's saying is, all the things of this world, all the things, the wonderful things that I can see are lost. Not saying that they're gone or they've been taken. He's comparing. He's comparing two things. What this is worth, what this is worth. Is this more valuable to me? Is this more valuable? Which is the greater one? Which is the pearl of great price? Okay, and there's no doubt here how he says this. Again, 7. But whatever things unto me were gained, the same have I accounted for Christ's sake loss. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things to be lost because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Yahushua my Lord. For the sake of him, the loss of all things have I suffered, and do account them refuge, Okay? Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. In order that Christ I may win.
And that's it.
And that's the whole thing. So when we look at this, the whole point, the suffering, the strategies that come against us, the things that we do, the things that we see, that yes, they're there, that Yahweh does speak to us, that Christ works with us, that he is our head, and he is giving us information, and he's giving this thing. The things that the prophets and the righteous men wanted, we have. Okay, we are above that, that we have these things and these blessings. And so I'm going to close on that. Okay, and that is... Again, like I said, I draw parallelisms that I see. That's not what I'm saying is written. But when I see that, I look at that, and I'm like, well, what does this mean? And I'm trying to dig into it and say, what does that mean? Because it doesn't mean this. It can't mean this. How does that fit? Okay, whether it is or isn't, I'm like, well, there's a parallel there that I see. And, but again, the thing that you do see with that is the parables is that Christ spoke these for the people who wanted to hear, those that had ears to hear. So when you hear that, who has ears to hear? Well, it's the people who came back. It's the people who came back after it was all said and done, who asked, tell us, Master, yeah. What does this mean? What does it mean? And that's the difference. And so when we get those things, if we're not doing the same thing, tell us, Christ, tell me. What does that mean? I don't understand this. I'm not getting this. Tell me what it means. Okay. That's it. And in private, guess what? Go ahead, Aaron.
September 11th.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for reminding me that. Tomorrow, everybody knows what the day is. Tomorrow's September 11th, okay? Tomorrow is Christ's birthday, okay? It is not. When we go back to there, and I meant to bring it up during that time in my mind, I had it, and I kind of lost it with the loaves of bread, okay? The things that we don't want to give up, okay? Christ was born December 25th, okay? Absolutely nothing. That's yeah. When we celebrate it, it does not have to do with that. You also find, if you look in the Companion Bible, some other interesting things. Those who were crucified with Christ, I challenge you to go look. What you're going to find is going to be different from what tradition teaches, or when you drive by any church and you see the symbols that they have. Okay, these are things all the people, yeah, that's pretty interesting, but I don't need it. Okay, again, it's where we do it. September 11th is Christ's birthday, to be celebrating it, okay, not the celebration of other things or of the world or Gaia, but of Christ what did. It changed everything the day that Christ was born. The messengers came down and praised. Hallelujah. Okay, same for us. So thank you for reminding me of that. So remember that tomorrow to be happy birthday and to Yahushua. Amen. and be celebrating in a separate supplication just for him. So, all right, we'll go ahead and close, and I'll have a word for those who are listening. Thank you, Yahweh, for the words. We thank you for everything you've given and for the teaching, for being able to look out your word and search out your words. That we do this as it says in Proverbs, as you, it is your desire to conceal that kings go out and find, that we do this. It's well-pleasing to you as we search these things out to find that you are wanting to give it to us. As a child who has worked hard for his labor, for father to reward him, to give him those things that he seeks. So we do the same thing as we come before you, that we are seeking your words and your wisdom within your words, and to hear your spoken word as well as you speak it through us. We thank you. We thank you, Christ, that you made this available, and we just say this all in your son's name. My children, I am calling you. I do see you, that you are calling out, that you are on the brink of being rebellious, that you are determining whether or not it's worth it. It's worth the walk, the struggles and the things that you come across, that you are feeling to yourself that I do not know if I can do this. I do not know if I can make this. I do not know if I can meet these things. And I'm telling you that you can't. You can through me, but you cannot on your own. This is not you on your own. You are not in this by yourself. That you are partnered with me, that I am there. I am steadily with you, and I will give you words of wisdom, and I will give you words of comfort. My son cried out and told those around him that he could call upon multitudes of messengers to minister to him. This is what I have for you as you seek me out, that I am able to do these things. I am able to give them. And I also see someone who has a problem with their eye. It appears like a torn retina or something wrong with the eye that is causing vision distortion. And I just see this, that as you are interceding, that you just go down upon your knees, that you speak to our Creator, and you speak through Christ, and as He paid for this, that by His stripes you are healed. You claim this, you say this again, yeah. And you say this again. and in faith you proclaim this, and you see your vision, you will see the things, that as these things have happened through injury, that you will get the healing as you do these things. So stand fast and be bold, that as these things are past, that are they shown, that you are coming through, that you are feeling the message that I give to you, and you're seeking it, and you're dividing it out, that as you see these things and are given these words, that you put them upon your heart and do not stack them away on a different shelf, but you put them in front of you, that as everywhere you turn, you are seeing these things, that you feel these things, and you place them upon you and put them on as a backpack that does not come off, that these are part of you, that as you come to me, that you have become a new creation, and this new creation has given you newness, and it's given you life, and it's given you the joy. It's given you the joy that you are looking for. So stand fast with me and know that as you are coming to me, that I will deliver and I will meet every need that you have.